provided about half of our support, a little over half, and we've sent out proposals to 109 different churches. So we've been knocking on the doors. There's a possible overseer in Nashville, so we're next couple weeks we hope to find out what's going on there. And if that's the case, there may be, we may leave here early November. We're not sure yet because they want us to go bond with them for a short period of time before we go to Korea. So, and we just found out our house has been sold. So in the process, so there's a lot of things going on right now. So. And I'm looking at back surgery in the next month or two. So, which is when I love the fact that it's minimally invasive. That was good news to me. So, we just need your prayers as we continue. Just want to give everybody an update as to where we are with things. So we'll keep you updated as things progress. I wanted to invite Rob up here for just a minute. Rob Clutter, where are you, Rob? We wanted to tell you, he's going to tell you a little bit more about Family Fest. Ken, if you can get that mic up. And we're really excited about this. This is going to be a great, great day for Manchester.
Hi. Morning, everybody. Morning. So many of you may know or may not know, my wife and I own WMSR, Thunder Radio, and we operate it with Brian Markram's help. He does most of the operating. And we do a lot of events like bridal shows and home shows and things, and a couple things happened. One, last year, Chris talked me into helping out with the One Day of Hope, and myself and my daughters, we loaded up and went out there early Saturday morning. I didn't know what to do, and I thought, well, I can pick up heavy things. I'm qualified for that. And ended up, you know, staying there the whole day and participating, and I ended up in the prayer tent praying with people, and it changed my life forever. And I thought, wow, you know, this is what Christians do. We help people, and we don't help people to make us feel good, and we don't help people so that we look good. We help people because Jesus told us to. That's what we do. And so I got involved this year in planning on this year's One Day of Hope with Ray and Chris. And so then a couple months ago, I'm watching the news or reading the news article, and everybody's beating up on Christians. Like all of a sudden, it's like a bad thing, like we're mean people or something. And so I thought, well, that's not good. So I began to formulate this thing in my mind. And so one day, Tiffany and I she was running errands, and I said, well, can I ride along with you? Because I wanted to tell her about this thing I was thinking about. And so I said, well, I have this idea. And the first thing she says is, please tell me it's not another event. So I thought, well. So what we planned is on September the 12th, Rotary Park Amphitheater, which is next to the Rec Center in Manchester, we're planning a big event where we have several churches participating, including ours, obviously. We're going to have games and, you know, like ring toss and, you know, those kind of little games for kids. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and something called a Gaga pit. It's nothing to do with Lady Gaga, I've been told. But my kids knew what it was and said it was fun. So all kind of things to do. Fun, clean, Christian, fun, okay? And we're going to raise money for One Day of Hope. It takes a lot of money to feed and clothe 5,000 people. And so, we're going to have Christian entertainment on the amphitheater stage, and we're setting up the PA and all that, and we're going to have a big screen with video on it and those sorts of things. So what I'd like to ask you, and many of you have already volunteered, and I appreciate that. And Jonathan and the youth group's going to be helping out a lot, and I appreciate that a lot. We only have a staff of like 4, so we can't really run a lot of carnival games. But what you can do to help is come. Just come and have fun. Let's show that we're all good people, us Christian folks. And tell everybody you know. If you're a Facebooker, I'm not. like it or whatever you do on there. And, let people know, come on out, have a big time. This is one of those things that, and I don't know, you've probably had this happen in your life. It's one of those things that when it kind of came to me, it just sort of really came, and I just had to do this. And I will tell you that once I told my wife the whole deal and how I felt about it, she said, okay, we'll do another event. So that worked out nicely as well. If you have any, if you'd like to help out selling armbands for the games or whatever, let me know. If you know, have a group and if you want to do something, maybe you're good at crafts or face painting or I don't know. Just let me know what you'd like to do. But otherwise, just come and have a good time. Bring your kids, bring your grandkids, and we'll see you there. And thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, that's going to be a great day. And I appreciate Rob and his leadership and coming up with this idea. I think it's going to be a great day for everybody. Now, I promise next week we will get back into the Gospel of Matthew. I miss Jesus, okay? And I love talking about Jesus. So this has been kind of a last couple weeks we've taken a little detour. And I really don't know who this message is for today besides myself. I always like to talk to myself before you ever hear it. So because it's usually something I'm struggling with. So, but I believe this message is for all of us today. I think there's some here today that really may be struggling with what's going on in your mind. If I were to ask you, do you generally think positive or negative thoughts? What would it be? Don't all tell me at once now, okay? I think for a lot of us in this country, it's very interesting, this struggle with negative thinking, it's our media feeds on it, and it's really not something new. I mean, we had it in the Garden of Eden. We had it in the time of Noah. It's interesting, Genesis 6, verse 5 says that God saw the hearts of man, and he said, all they thought were thinking about was evil. So there was obviously negative thinking during that time. It's not a new concept. But this idea of negative thinking affects over 40 million Americans. And over, it's interesting, many Christians, including myself, and I hope for you that you're not struggling with negative thinking. It's gotten much better over the years for me. But this idea of this, I just felt like we needed to talk about this today. So we're going to talk about the battlefield of the mind. What's going on inside you sometimes feels like a battlefield, doesn't it? It feels like there's a war going on. So let's pray as we begin. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to search our hearts and our minds this morning. And we realize, Lord, just how important our thoughts are to you. You said, David said, may the meditation of our hearts and the things that we say be pleasing to you, Lord, in your sight. And we pray today that our thoughts, Father, that you will help us with our negative thinking. We tend to be very pessimistic sometimes about things, and we pray that as believers in Jesus that we will begin to see things from your perspective and learn to use our voices and the things we say to our coworkers and to our family and to friends. Use the things that we say to be positive rather than negative. We thank you this day, and we invite your Spirit to be a part of what you're doing today. In Jesus' name, amen. So obviously, your thoughts determine your actions. So obviously, this is why we're talking about this important issue, because what you think about on a daily basis influences everything that you do. Because not only does temptation begin in the mind, but everything springs from it. Everything. Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside. and defile a person. Notice how he connects our thoughts with our hearts. They're interconnected. So he obviously says this is something that we need as followers of his to work on in our own lives. I think the root of negative thinking is revolves around fear. And it's a fear of the future, a fear of not being in control of my situation. And I think the idea of this of negative thinking in and of itself is rooted in our insecurities as human beings. You know, fear, the negative thinking gives birth to worry, it gives birth to doubt, and we feed off of it. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and you thought everything was going great, and then the conversation suddenly makes a turn, and then it becomes negative, and you get around, and you start thinking negative, and it has power, especially in the workplace. Because it's easy to get in the workplace, it's easy to get negative, it's easy to talk negatively about coworkers and the boss. And I want to challenge you this week, if you're working in an environment like that, to take a moment and say a positive thing about coworkers, say a positive thing about your boss, and see what a different response you get among the people you work with. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans, than to trust in princes. I think our negative thinking and our fear results from this idea of pleasing people. And I've never really realized this, but somebody figured this out. I don't know how you could figure this out, but somebody said we have 60,000 thoughts daily. 60,000. I mean, you are your own preacher, basically. You're talking to yourself all the time, whether you realize it or not. And I think we need to be intentional. I think we have to come to a point where we are intentionally focusing on what we're thinking about. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Don't ever think that your thoughts are not important. They are crucial to your growth, your development as a follower of Jesus. It's interesting, scientists have discovered that with repeated thoughts create these grooves in our brains. Maybe some of us have more grooves than others. But in and of itself, we create habits. We get used to doing things a certain way. And it actually develops grooves within us. So if I'm continually thinking negatively about things, if I'm constantly pessimistic, it's going to create a groove and a habit and a character and a destiny. You ever had Eeyore's disease? Yeah, you remember Eeyore, right, from Winnie the Pooh? I always liked him. I always liked the way he talked. And he always, if you ever noticed him, he's always got a worst-case scenario in his mind. The worst part, it's just what's going to happen. We're doomed. It's going to end. And we're gonna die. And it's interesting that the 99% of the things that we worry about are really things that often never come to pass. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The mind part, the sound mind. You may say, no, I don't got no sound mind. Yes, you do. The Spirit of God living in you can create a sound mind where you're not governed by a spirit of fear. Because God is giving us everything we need to win the mind war. Everything we need. So how do we overcome negative thoughts? Well, you have to fight intentionally. In other words, this has to become part of your daily process, what you do on a daily basis. Fight intentionally in the power of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor. God never says to take off the armor. You got to keep it on. Okay, and now he tells us, he's going to tell us what the armor is later, but he says, put it on so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not people. Your enemy is not your family. Your enemy is not your spouse. Your enemy is the rulers and authorities against the power of this dark world. Satan, demons are your enemy. Those are your enemy. And he goes on to explain what that armor is. It's the belt of truth. It's righteousness. It's all these things we'll talk about in just a moment. So just because you have negative thoughts does not make you an evil person, okay? Just get that in your head. Often we think, you know, I'm thinking these bad thoughts. I'm just a bad person. No, it's called your sinful nature. You've allowed it to take over your life. And this is an area that you can change with time. You know? We still have a sinful nature, but we're saved by the blood of Christ. But we're under construction. Everyone in this room, we're all under construction. And it takes time to take habits that have been ingrained in us for years to change. But with God's help, the power of the Holy Spirit, God can change us, if you want to be changed. Now, I love the fact that we have examples in Scripture of somebody that's thinking right one moment, and the next moment, they're blow it. And good old Peter, and we're going to be talking about this next week, and you don't want to miss next week because we're going to be in back in Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at three things that really hurt and we struggle with when it comes to commitment to Christ. But I love this passage where Peter says, yes, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe who you claim to be. And the next minute, he doesn't even turn around. He says, hey, Jesus, you don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be going to the cross. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. We'll talk about what that means next week and how we struggle with those kinds of things in our own lives. It's amazing, isn't it? How you can be doing so well, the day is going so great, and you've been talking positively all day, and the next minute you say something negative. Oh man, the power of our tongues. Powerful. Paul understood the power of negative thinking because as a missionary and a church planner, he struggled, I think, with his own negative thinking in his own life. Because as he plants house churches in Corinth, he has dealt with, and it's interesting, the whole second letter of Corinthians is basically Paul defending himself against these false apostles, these people who said, oh, Paul's not really an apostle. He's a fake apostle. And I sometimes wonder if that is what his thorn was. Remember, he talks about his thorn. He pleaded with God to take it away, and no, he said, no, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And I often wonder, because he calls them messengers of Satan, I wonder if he's talking about the false teachers in Corinth who were negatively talking about him in public and making him look bad. I don't know. We'll have to ask Paul when we see him what he meant by that. Well, let's listen. He says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, we're going to unpack this a little bit here in just a minute. But I want to help you understand what a stronghold is. Because for a lot of us, we have no idea what it means. A stronghold is a lie that you have chosen to believe. It's not a lie, okay? But we somehow believe it's a lie. And Tennessee translation is stinking thinking, okay? Thinking negatively about something. So a stronghold is a lie that we choose to believe. A stronghold is more than a present lie. I believe with all my heart in this room, we are all part of many different generations, okay? And I believe with all of my heart that for a lot of us, we have seen generational curses passed down from one generation to the next. In other words, you had granddaddies and grandpappies, whatever you want to call them, that were struggling with things, and they pass it to their children, and they pass it to their children. And it's interesting, if you look at generational curses, a lot of them are never broken, because people don't realize they are in the midst, or they have a generational curse in their life. And I think what happens with these strongholds is we have listened to them enough, we have believed them strongly enough, we've owned them, that they're now part of our identity. These are the tapes that you play in your head constantly. I have them. I remember talking to a counselor in Fresno, California about it. And he said, man, you got to throw those tapes away. I said, well, how do you do it? Tell me how you do it. And he told me how. And I was like, wow, it's that simple, huh? Here's some of the tapes that we play in our heads. These are examples of generational curses. You'll never amount to anything. This often happens and is said because somebody else told me the same thing, and my grandfather or my great-grandfather, and it's passed from generation to generation. Here's another one. You're so ugly. You're so stupid. All it takes is to say that one time to a child, and they never forget it. And there are many of you in this room this morning who have been deeply wounded by words that were said when you were young. And I'm here to tell you today, Jesus Christ has the power to heal you if you would like to be healed. Now, if you want to have a pity party and feel sorry for yourself, you're the only one invited, you're welcome to do that. But if you want answers today, I'm going to share with you some answers to help you get rid of the tapes. You're going to be just like your dad. You're going to be just like your mom. Whew. That's a horrible thing to say to somebody if it was a negative situation. Alcoholism, addiction, word curses, they all carry into the next generation. Why is alcoholism followed? Because these kids see what that's like. And I grew up around alcoholism. I struggled with alcohol as an adult. I mean, these are things that are passed on from generation to generation. And these can become the strongholds, the lies that govern your lives. Maybe some of you don't realize it, but you're trying to perform for somebody that doesn't even exist anymore. Maybe you're trying to please somebody that you have no idea you were trying to please this person. It has got to stop with us. And you've got to stop passing it on. Because if you're struggling, do you want your children to go through the same things that you've gone through? I hope not. I know you don't. But we're human. Our sinful natures take over sometimes. We don't realize we're doing it. Generational curses. You don't hear that in churches of Christ. Nobody talks about that. But that is such a very biblical thing that God talks about a lot, especially in the Old Testament. Four common strongholds. These are four common strongholds that people have. And the first one involves shame. You know, people come to a point, they believe, I can't change. I'm hopeless. I'm never going to get my marriage together. I'm never going to kick this addiction. I'm never going to be the person that God wants me to be. And they are filled with shame. And I'm here to tell you the answer for shame is the sufficiency of Jesus Christ and how He sees you. Another one is the fear of failure. I can never be good enough to please God. Well, congratulations, that's all of us. None of us here could do enough to please God, but there's someone that has. And the cross in Jesus is sufficient to save us. Fear of rejection. God, I have messed up so much. I have committed the same sin. I'm wrestling and struggling again with the same thing again. There's no way possibly that you can forgive me again. That is a lie from Satan. And maybe that's a generational curse. Maybe that is a stronghold that's developed in your life where you have this people-pleasing mentality and you feel like, I can never do enough to please. I can never do enough. And God says, you're already pleasing to me. You're my child. You're precious. So get off the treadmill. Fear of punishment. I keep failing. I'm obviously not worthy of God's love. You see that this idea of stinking thinking, it does influence the way you think about life. It does influence how you teach your children. It does influence how you talk to people on a daily basis. So this idea of thinking is very important to God, what you're thinking about on a day-to-day basis. Let's unpack the verse a little bit here. Though we live in the world, yeah, we do not wage war as the world does. The world fights physically, we fight spiritually. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They're not physical guns. They're not, you know, tanks and stuff. They are weapons of satanic mass destruction. And here are your weapons, good people. They are truth. They are right standing with God. They are peace. They are faith. They are prayer. These are the weapons that we have at our disposal. And it's interesting that three of them have to do with how God sees you. Faith and prayer are our response. Prayer I find it amazing that in our generation, we're seeing a whole generation that's prayerlessness. We don't believe in the power of prayer. If we did, we'd be praying more. Why do we pray? Why do you pray? Are you praying for strength? Are you praying for God, you're the only one. You're all I need. You're all that I want. Is that the cry of your heart today? Now, these weapons, these are the truth, the right standing with God, the peace, the faith, prayer. What can these weapons do? They demolish strongholds. They crush them. How do you overcome negative thinking? With the truth of God's Word. Understanding how God sees you. The breastplate of righteousness, it's protecting your heart. It's saying, I know that I have right standing with God, not because of anything that I do, but because I am trusting in the finished work of the cross of Jesus. That's how you overcome negative thinking. It's with truth. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive, we grab it, and make it obedient to Christ. How do we do that? By choosing to think what God says rather than what I think or what the world says. See, this you've got power at your disposal. It's right here. It's right in front of you. You have the power to change everything in your life. So we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Everybody stand real quickly for a moment. These next five statements are based on biblical truth, so there's nothing construed here or made up. Let's say it out loud together. Ready? Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, I am a new creation of infinite worth. I am fully pleasing. I am totally accepted by God. I am absolutely complete in Christ. Say that again. You guys sounded really good. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ,
I am a new creation. I am fully pleasing. I am totally accepted by God. I am absolutely complete in Christ.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. Have a seat. If you would have said no, I would have made you kept standing. These are all true about us. all true. Because of the cross, because of Jesus Christ. All because of Him. I am fully pleasing to God. You're saying, well, I'm not doing everything right. Do you love your children because they get everything right or because they're your children? God's adopted you as His son or His daughter, and He's already pleased with you because you're His. So that motivates you to do the right thing. I want to obey. I want to bring glory to God with my life. See, this motivates you to follow Christ. It motivates you to love Him with all of your heart. Christianity is not a set of rules. It's not just Sunday. This is the gas station. Where you really live is out there. And this is your identity. This is who you are. If you understand who you are, then you begin to think differently about yourself. You begin to think differently about everybody else. So how do we overcome negative thoughts? You renew it. You renew it with the truth of God's Word. Beautiful passage in Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. I like the way J.B. Phillips translates. He says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let it squeeze you into its mold of thinking. It's thinking, it's power, money, sex, all those things. He's saying, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. How? By transforming and renewing your mind. Why this book is so precious and so important is because not only do we learn about God and who He is and who we are, but you also learn to reprogram the way you think and the way you see yourself. That's why it's so precious. And I want to tell you, this is the best, absolutely the best study Bible you can buy. I've promoted this thing. Everybody's probably tired of me talking about it. ESV Study Bible, $30. Get on Amazon.com. Get your hardcover version. It's got every study note in the world in it. So well done. Excellent, excellent translation too. So we got to reprogram the way we think, okay? With God's Word, with positive Christian music. Do you realize the power of music in your life? Do you realize the power of what's said in those lyrics? Christian books that will edify you, what are you doing to edify yourself? What are you doing to strengthen yourself? Movies that encourage. I mentioned last week to see that, what was that film I was talking about? Yeah, The Notebook. Dummy Me sometimes mentions movies in public that you should go. I haven't seen the movie in about 15 years or something. And I remember it being a very positive movie because it talked about commitment, but I forgot about some of the other worldly things in that, so young people don't go see the movie. It is a very powerful, though, movie about the essence of the movie itself is about covenant commitment and keeping your commitment no matter what. That's what I wanted you to see from it, but I was recommending a movie I shouldn't recommend in public, so forgive me. So all this is to say, what are we feeding our minds? I like the 4-8 filter. You know what the 4-8 filter is, right? Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So everything that you watch, every movie that you pull out on Netflix or you're going to the video store or whatever, Can it go through the 4-8 filter? Is it pure? Is it noble? Is it true? Is it right? Is it lovely? Everything that you listen to in music, same thing. We got to realize that the media can have a powerful, powerful influence on our lives if we're not careful. You know, and mind renewal involves constant refocusing. Read, do, fail, and repeat. You're going to fail. You're going to struggle. You're going to, and we're all, total commitment to Christ. Absolutely. Jesus is Lord. You betcha. and then Monday morning comes, and I'm tired, and I'm frustrated, and I haven't had enough coffee yet, and somebody says something to me, and I explode. Maybe it's my spouse. Maybe it's... Mind renewal involves a constant renewal and refocusing daily. This is not something you're going to be perfect at, okay? But this will change your life. And I want you to understand that growth as a follower of Jesus, it is a process, okay? It's not a microwave. It takes a lifetime. And even when you're 90, you're still going, I'm still struggling. I'm still wrestling with things. Yes. And we will often. Three steps forward, two steps back, you know? Let me share with you real quickly before we go today a great new way of studying the Bible. On the back of your outline, if you didn't get one, there's still some hanging around. This is a great, it's called Lectio Divina. It's about 1,500 years old. It was developed by monks. It is a very clever way of studying Scripture. It's very simple, and I want to encourage you. First of all, before you read a Scripture, spend some time in prayer. And this won't take more than 20, 30 minutes of your time during the day. So choose a time in the day when you can be by yourself and you can focus and listen. There's four aspects of this. The first one is read. You take 20 verses, short section or a chapter. Maybe you want to go through 1 John or you want to go through some Psalms, whatever you want to do. Read the passage slowly. Ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me this today? Talk to God as you read. And then read it again. Maybe out loud this time. Maybe reading in a different version. Okay? And then, secondly, you reflect. What word or phrase stood out to you? How are they connecting with you? Did you find yourself in this passage? What is it speaking to you? Ask the Lord, how does this connect with my life today? As you read, I think the problem with us is we try to ingest too much. We try to read, okay, I'm going to read 10 chapters of Scripture today. Well, that's great if you can do that, but what are you going to get out of it? Okay? Instead, just take a short portion and meditate, chew on it for a little while like a cow chews cud, and think about it. Respond, pray. Read one last time, preparing to pray what the Spirit has spoken to you. And then rest. Ask yourself, what does this teach me about God? What does this teach me about myself? And what am I going to do with this text in my life? I promise you, if you study the Bible that way, you're going to get a lot more out of your study time than a lot of us. We just read and we go, oh, okay. And then we go on to something else. You'll get a lot more out of it if you do it that way. So that's just something I think would be good. As we close today, I want you to remind you to, if you're struggling, if you're a negative thinker, be at peace, because one day you're going to be made whole and the negative thoughts will be gone permanently. But in the meantime, I think as you work through it, as you struggle and wrestle with your thoughts, be patient with yourself, but intentionally make daily choices. Go through the 4-8 filter. Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this what I need to be listening to? And it'll help you a lot. Let's pray together as we close. Father, I think I speak for everybody in this room. We tend to speak negatively a lot to ourselves throughout the day, and I know that's definitely not your intention for us. So I pray to ask your Holy Spirit that you help us renew our minds, transform us, Father, as we listen to your word, as we listen to Christian music, movies that will inspire us to follow you. We just pray, Father, you'll help us make intentional choices that are good. And Father, please forgive us for the times that we allow the world to do our thinking rather than you. We ask that you renew us and restore us. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord. Transform our thinking and our thoughts this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner.